Good afternoon. Thank you for being here. We'll have a little more introduction in just a moment, but on behalf of Warren and Leslie, Lloyd and Sue and the family, thank you for being here this day as we remember James Knapp. We're going to ask you to stand as we begin our time together with taps and the presentation of the flag. So would you please stand? Again, on behalf of the family, thank you for being here today. We come here to close the chapter, as it were. We come and rightfully grieve the loss of the daily presence of Jim in our lives, but we do not grieve as the rest who have no hope, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. For those who are in Christ, the leaving of this world is the entrance into the next, and it is a time then of celebration. Jim has not been defeated by his passing, but he's entered into his Heavenly Father's rest. In the words of Acts chapter 3, verse 8, Jim is now walking and leaping and praising God. I was thinking that whoever was playing catcher on the Lord's baseball team has probably been recently replaced. We gather here today to remember the life of Jim while on this earth, but we also celebrate the fact that God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Based upon the authority of the Word of God, we know that Jim is truly alive, and we who have the same faith as Jim, who trust in the merit of Jesus Christ as secured upon the cross, will one day see him again. I would ask if you would stand for the reading of Scripture and for our prayer. Please rise. I read for you today from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 17 through 27. There we read, "So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them concerning their brother Lazarus. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?' She said to him, 'Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world.'" Let us pray. O Lord our God, you who are the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, look with compassion upon us as we gather here this day to remember a beloved father, grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, brother, and friend. Speak a word of comfort to our hearts, a comfort that comes only as we understand and know you. Show us afresh the love and hope that is for all those who trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, for life and eternal life. Encourage us with a sense of your presence and the knowledge of your truth that he who believes in the Son has eternal life. Now may the peace of Christ, even the peace that passes all understanding, Abide with us and rest upon all these dear ones. We pray in the name of our only Savior, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. James Leslie Knapp, or J.L., or Papaw, or Great Papaw, or just plain Pap, was born July 27, 1923 in Greenwood, Arkansas, and died at home in Rogers, Arkansas, January 5, 2018. He served in the U.S. Navy from 1941 to 1949 and in the U.S. Navy Reserve from 1949 to 1955. He is survived by his daughters, Loretta Sue Bennett and Leslie Ann Sherman of Rogers, Arkansas, one brother, Paul, two sisters, Elizabeth and Dorothy, five granddaughters, seven great-grandchildren, seven great-great-grandchildren, with two more great-great-grandchildren and one great-great-great-grandchild on the way. In just a few moments, you'll be given an opportunity to share some memories and thoughts concerning Jim. We gather to take this opportunity to find encouragement, to find joy in the memories that we all have of Jim. We gather here to thank the Lord for the blessing that Jim has been in our lives with his love and with his friendship. Before we take this opportunity, let us sing a song that was one of Jim's favorite, The Old Rugged Cross. I'll invite you to stand as we sing this together. One of the hardest things in the world is to aptly summarize a person's life in just a few moments, and to do that person justice, particularly those of us who knew Pap. My Aunt Leslie, Jim's daughter, had once asked Jim how he wanted to be remembered, and she wrote down what that was. And it was this: if anyone asks how I want to be remembered, please say the following. So we're honoring him. I was a hardworking, trustworthy, God-fearing, happy, giving, caring, and loving family man. I think we can safely say that Pap accomplished these things. Pap had an incredible love for people, and most especially for children. And while he had ample, as we've noticed, grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren, it seemed as though Jim was Pap to any child, anywhere, anytime. Lloyd was sharing a memory with us the other day of how at some social event, Jim was out playing and entertaining the children, to which somebody made the comment, "What is he, a rent-a-pap?" Having had two daughters, Jim was fond of the campfire girls and was even made an honorary campfire girl. I'm not sure, you know, did he get a star or something with that? In part, being an honorary campfire girl meant that he purchased a lot of toffee peanuts, and I understand he probably ate most of those himself, but he did that. As you can see by the display here, Jim not only loved family, but was loved by his family. He also loved baseball. Most anyone who knows him will have a memory of him sitting in front of a TV, watching either a Dodgers game or a Padres baseball game. Pap loved his mementos. Leslie was sharing with us the other day, not that long ago, they were looking through a box of cards and notes that he had kept over the many years. Leslie asked if he should get rid of those. And he said, "No, I've kept them this long, I guess I should keep them." I think the point is this, that Jim cherished his family, he cherished his friends, and it's my prayer that we might learn to cherish our family and cherish our friends as much as he did. He wanted to be known as a loving family man. On January 4th, Laura and I had our last opportunity to speak with Pappen, and we had been told that he wasn't actually speaking at all. And Laura and I went into the room and got to talk with him a little bit, and he responded. And one thing I can always remember about Pap is that whenever we would leave, we would say, "Love you." And he would always say, "Love you." And Laura and I, on the finish of our conversation with Pap, Laura looked at him and said, "Love you." And he may not have been talking much that day, but he clearly said to Laura and I, "Love you." A loving family man. I'd like to have you have an opportunity. I know it's not always the easiest thing to stand in front of a group of people and share thoughts or memories, but I want to give you an opportunity to share something that might have been an encouragement to you or something that might encourage the rest of the family. Just something that is a eulogy, a good word about Pap Jim regarding his life. And so I'm just going to be quiet for a few moments, which is not easy for me as a preacher, and give you an opportunity as you feel led to stand and share anything that might be on your heart, a memory or something that would be, again, an encouragement. So it's your turn.
Rock of ages, clutch on me. Let me hide myself in thee. When I hear that song, I think of Pat. Only when he would sing it, he was holding a baby. And he would say, "Bye, bye." And I keep thinking, if I had a picture of every baby he held and every baby that he patted when it was calling, and I made a slideshow, it would take at least a week to watch the whole slideshow. Because he had a gift with babies and he passed that on to the rest of us. And then I was also thinking how loving that was. And so my sister, she was the first grandbaby, so I will give her that. But I was the second. And for 13 years, we were the only kids. And so we were pretty spoiled. We got a lot of love from him. He was a good parent. And I learned a lot about him. He was definitely loving. I thought it was normal for grandkids to go to their grandparents' house every week, and normal to stay the night regularly. I thought that was normal. It wasn't normal. But he and Grandma Opal, we were allowed to stay there as much as we wanted. Mashed potatoes, in fact, he taught me how to make mashed potatoes. I'm still making them every holiday. And so the tradition goes on, and we're all going to be at his house because of all the butter. But he, kindness, so loving and kind and generous. Talk about generous. I never met somebody who was paying so close attention. I can remember Lana and I would say, "Well, we don't have any A1 sauce." And before the words came out of our mouth, he had left the house on a holiday to find the only open store in town to find A1 sauce. He was always paying attention. He was very generous. Anytime we went to a store, he wanted us to feel special. So he reached into his pocket, got that money clip. Here's a dollar. You can spend it any way you want to. Just incredibly generous to us, and not just us, but to our friends. Like you said, everybody called him Papa. Everybody claimed he was their Papa. We did assert our authority. By the way, he was my Papa first, just so people wouldn't forget. He gave us a legacy of love and faithfulness and patience and generosity. And he was a servant, an example of what it means to be a servant of the living God by serving his family. So I'm grateful.
We are recording this because there are some that are not here with us, and so we make it more awkward for you. If you want to say something, I'm going to put this in front of your face. Okay? That's why Laura went first. So is there someone else that would like to share anything?
I was thinking about one of my favorite memories of Papal was that he was our Santa. He had the big belly and the big laugh. And so I always believed in Santa because I had one. So I remember one year we rented a cabin for Christmas, and we were, he always made fudge, which I think is where Liana started doing it from. But he always made fudge, and so one year, I think I was six or seven, and I was at the stove with him making fudge, and he licked the marshmallow fluff lid, and he's like, here, try some. It was really gross. I don't know why he liked it, but he did. And I just remember, that's one of my first memories I have of cooking, and I think that's kind of where I got my love for cooking from, was Papa in front of the stove with fudge everywhere, and I ate too much, and I got sick all of Christmas Eve. But he was such a loving man, and my husband didn't get to know him very well, but in the short time that he did, he could see where we all got it from. So I've been thankful for that.
One of my best memories is when we were little. He would come over to our house Saturday nights. My parents would go out for date night, and he would come over and he'd babysit us. He'd take us to Mexico Cena for dinner, and he took three girls to a restaurant for dinner. But Papa could do that, because who was going to act up for Papa? And so we would go to dinner, and we would come home, and we'd all sit on the floor, and he would turn on Hee Haw. We would just sit on the floor in the living room and watch Hee Haw. And it's such a silly show, but he loved that show. Excuse me. And one of my best memories is how he always went to the boys' functions. He was always at Logan's baseball games. He went to Bika's when he was playing football. Even if he, you know, had to roll on his walker, even if he had trouble getting there, he always wanted to be there. And so, some like good memories. I think I'm going to try. I have too many memories, and they're all wonderful, of my dad. Laura said that she felt like he spoiled the two of them. But you know what? The funny thing is, we all felt like we were spoiled. He had a way of just making you feel special just by being in his presence. It was always... He loved you, he cared about what you wanted and you needed, and he was there. I would come over, and when I was married, I would pull up in front of the house and go in to visit, and I'd say, where'd Dad go? He went out and got my oil changed and gassed up the car, and he just always took care of us all. When the girls were little, I had Allie and Ashley really close together, and Ashley was really colicky, and he would work all day, and he would come over and pace the floor and put one of them asleep, and he'd sit down in the recliner, and I would say, here, let me take her, and he'd say, no, I'm fine. And he would just, it was like he had to work to get her to sleep. He was going to enjoy just cuddling with her, and he did that with all the girls and all the grandsons, and I know Kavika remembers this. He had a special bond with Papa, too, is that Kavika loved Monster Trucks, and he would bring home the program to Monster Trucks, and he'd climb up on Dad's lap, and he would just, they would go through it page by page by page, and then when it was done, and we're talking 50 pages, and then Kavika would say, again, and they would sit there and go through it every time. But he knew what that special thing was for each and every person in this room. He knew what you loved, and he loved sharing that with you. And I look out and I see all these people that knew him, and he just loved each and every one of you. I just wish that I can carry forth some of the wonderful qualities that he has, the loving unconditionally, the giving and the caring and the, he would ask me when we moved back here, you know, have you heard from such and such and how are they doing? What are they doing? And there were so many times that he reached out to a child that needed an extra hug from a grandpa and didn't have one. There were times when we went to him and said, Dad, we have a friend in trouble. Is there anything we can do to help them? And he never asked why. He said, of course, we'll help them. We'll do this. And he was just always just so generous with everything in his life. And he was just a very special man. And I feel so blessed that we had him for 94 years. And I'm so thankful.
I can always understand why they all loved him so much, because I was a neighbor to Lloyd and Sue. And when he'd come in for a visit, well, I'd go up and sit down. And Lloyd told me, well, he said that's new person for him to tell the stories to. And I enjoyed listening to him and visiting with him. And he'd after a couple of visits, well, he'd ask Lloyd, said, well, when Gary going to come up? So, you know, he just enjoyed people, and he was a good man to visit with, and I enjoyed it.
I came into this family, it was kind of funny. It's like Leslie, when I asked Leslie to marry me, I didn't, I guess, really realize at the time what I was getting myself into. I knew there was three girls, and that's where this all comes from, by the way. I love every minute of it. But I didn't realize I was getting a dad that was going to be there 24/7. Growing up, everybody has their dads and everything. But of all the men in my life, there's two that have meant so much to me. One was my grandfather, and he died at a very young age to me. And the next was Jim. And he was a man that, to me, showed me compassion. He let me come into his house. And, I mean, we moved three families into one house. And he never complained. He never, bad word, nothing. He was always there. Saturday mornings was always funny because he would, what do you want from the store? Because he would take off on Saturday morning. Before any of us would get up, he would be gone. And he'd go shopping all day long. And when I say all day, I meant all day. He would show up about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's like, and I remember having to tell the girls, okay, your papa's home, let's go empty the car. And the trunk was full. We never had to worry about going without, because he always made sure there was something there. If the girls, if they wanted something, and he even asked me what I would like. And it's like, and he made sure we had it. It was in the later years here that we've gotten to where it boiled down to just a couple of us in the house. I mean, we've always had a house full. When we got married, we lived on Kobe Street or Kobe Drive. There was three girls, Leslie, myself, and Jim, in a three-bedroom house. I have to admit that I moved Leslie out of the house when we got married. We just started sleeping in the RV in the driveway. So we had our own private space at that point. But then we did an addition to the house, and we built it into our home. And for many years, we were all there. And it's like, and the girls, and then Logan came along, and then Kavika, and it's like, and it's like everything was there. And every time I turn around, it's like, here's another girl. It's like someone on Facebook, I didn't put a post of how many girls we have. And it's like, we don't just have three girls. Because every one of the girls' friends became part of our family. And it's like, and I mean, and Papa was Papa to every single one of them. And we had one just recently that was moving back to the East Coast, and she stopped by. And Leslie had raised her from an infancy. And she stopped by because of Papa and us. And she got to see Papa. And it's like, and yep, and that was her Papa. And it's like, and she would come visit us in the summer in San Diego. And it's like, and she made a point. Yeah, her family was there, but she spent a week with us. And it's like, and so it's like, I see all these girls and everything. It's like I was watching all the posts on Facebook when Papa had passed and how they all remembered him. And it's like, and it's just the loving and the caringness that he had was just outstanding. And it continues on. I mean, I see it in our kids today and our grandkids, because I got two grandsons now, and it's like, and I watch both of them, and I see the caring and the loving that both of them have. You know, and it's like, and for a man that lived 94 and a half years, it's like, that's amazing. It's like, and to me, he is top shelf. It's like, I will always remember him. And it's like, and I'm thankful that he allowed me. Because it's like, when I went to him and asked him if I could have his daughter, yeah, he said I couldn't give her back. But but I didn't realize that not only was I getting a daughter or a wife and three daughters, but I was getting a dad. And it's like, and he loved me. Honestly, I could say more than my own real dad did. And you know what? For me, that was the best. So.
I would just like to say, add to, that's my brother that they're talking about.
Your brother they're talking
that's
about.
That's my brother.
So. I'll try. I just want to say that he was the greatest man in any of our lives. And he never disappointed any of us, not one time. And he was always kind. He was always there. I went there every day. I worked and went to school every day of my life. And I would drop my son and my dogs off. And Papa was such a great sport about it. And he would say lots of, you know, snide remarks about my dogs, but then you leave the room and he's petting them and giving them love, because he really, deep down, he did love them. Yeah. And he couldn't see very well, he couldn't hear very well, but he knew where all of our things were. And every time we tried to leave the house and we couldn't find our phone or our keys, and he said, it's over there where you sat down when you came in. And he didn't need to see it to know where it was. But he was a great man, and he will never be replaced, and we're all lucky and blessed to have him in our lives.
I hope if you're able to stay after the service, we're going to have some angel food cake, which was his favorite, with strawberries, and you can share some more memories there at that time as well. But I just, very quickly, how many here at one time or another lived with Pap? Raise your hand. Okay? See that? We all honed in there. All right. So, anyone else?
I love my Papa so much. I appreciate the fact that Aunt Leslie brought him back here so we have a little time with him. I have so many memories of him. I don't even know where to start. I mean, what kind of an older man? I mean, he was a grandpa, a great-grandpa at that point, and he's going down slides with little kids. I don't even know how he fit in it. You know, the biggest thing to me, the thing that impresses me the most, the thing that I think of when I think of Pat, is I think Christ-like. That's what I think, that love that we all hear, feel. It's not him. He's showing us Christ through him. He loved the Lord. And when he could, he read his Bible. He studied it. Even my preacher came and visited with him. He was telling me they were spouting Bible back and forth. As quick as he could spit it out, Grandpa would have the ending of it. You know, and it's just, I'm just so thankful. You know, we've lost so much lately. And I know that if we all do as we should and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can see him again. We don't have to be sorrowful here. I mean, I'm sorry for myself because I've lost something so great, you know. And I hurt because my granddaughter Oakley will be here anytime this month, and she won't be able to see what we had. Didn't matter whether he could hear or see at that point, he would hold that baby with whatever he could do, you know. He'd make it work. I mean, he did it with Kaylin. But please know that if you didn't really know him, I mean, if you met him one time, you knew him. Because what you saw of him at that point, that was him. That love, he would remember the craziest things. He really did. They said that he made you feel like you were important. He would remember people from my church and what they had gone through the last time he had visited them, and he made sure to ask them, how is it going now? And people were always so impressed that this man who lives in California, comes back once every little bit, can remember who they are and that they're important to him, because everyone is important to Christ. And that's his biggest thing, is that he wanted all of us to follow the Lord. So I just thank the Lord for him.
It's the last night that Pap was on this earth. He was kind of in a lot of pain. And from what I understand, Leanna stayed up and sang hymns to him and brought a great peace and comfort to him. So I know that was very much appreciated by him and the rest of the family. So
I want to say my friend, my daddy, and my friend.
Thank you for the precious memories, and I know there are so many others. And we gather here as those who do not grieve, like those who have no hope. And so let us consider some truths from God's Word, because as we just heard, this is a man who read God's Word and spent time with the Lord and desired that for others. I'm going to read for you from a very familiar passage, and that's from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For all of us gathered here today, the kindness and goodness of Pap given to him by the Lord is the source of both our present grief as well as our rejoicing. Our grief is because, as it's just been shared, we've been deprived of the benefit of his presence in our life. But our rejoicing, because the goodness and loving kindness of the Lord that followed him continues to live on through and in us. So as we rejoice and grieve due to the goodness of this father and great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather and great-great-great-grandfather, let us also understand that if we are Christians, we can do more than simply grieve and rejoice. For those who have personally trusted in Jesus Christ, we can also give thanks. And we give thanks for those who have touched our lives and passed on. And it's my privilege to share with you just a few of the good things that the Lord has promised to those who have trusted in him. As a preacher of the gospel, it is my joyful obligation to remind you that our eternal destiny is not determined, even though we've seen all of these good things that Papa's done, it's not determined by the ratio of our goodness and kindness and compared to our meanness and stinginess. There's only one way in which we ever can see Pap again. There's only one way in which we can have something even greater than that, and that's to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is, my friends, to recognize our need for Jesus. I read for you that familiar 23rd Psalm. The Psalm is a favorite of many, especially when we are brought face to face with the grim reality of death. It describes for us in the most poetic of terms the peace and confidence that David, a real person, had in his moments as he faced real enemies, even the enemy of death. There's another passage that's not nearly so familiar to most of us, which informs us that this sense that David had that surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, that confidence is not natural. It does not come to us humanly through natural means. It is supernatural. It is not natural for a person to experience that kind of confidence and as seen in this psalm. And so consider the words from a New Testament book, the book of Hebrews, that says this. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Therefore, since the children, that's us, share in flesh and blood, he himself, that is Jesus, likewise also partook of the same. He became like us. That through death, that is his dying on the cross, he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and listen, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. Fear of death. That's what scares us. Death frightens us. And that phrase puts Psalm 23 into perspective. It tells us that death normally produces fear in a natural person. It does not bring faith. It tells us that the fear of death hinders and haunts people all of their lives. It tells us that what David experienced in the 23rd Psalm is not natural, but supernatural. And it is my desire that you would experience that supernatural faith of David. As we come to honor the life and memory of Pap, we come face to face at this moment with this reality. Everybody dies, no exception. We come knowing that we too shall experience death. And if we are honest with ourselves, some must admit that the prospect of facing death today is a fearful, frightening thing. But just as this is exactly what Hebrews tells us, but others of us can identify with David, and the peace and security that he knew we can cherish. In his epistle to the Thessalonians, I've been speaking of this, Paul described these two contrasting responses to death. He said, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope." Beloved, Paul expects Christians to view death differently than the rest of the world. Christians, he tells us, will grieve. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be sad. We will grieve, but we grieve in hope. We rest in hope. The rest of the world does not have that. But what is this hope? What is it that makes the difference? My privilege on this occasion is to share with you how you can grieve with hope. My joy and delight is to share with you how you can exchange the fear of death for the faith of David. In the next few moments, I want to offer to you the hope which David experienced, the hope that we see in the 23rd Psalm. The source of this hope is to be found in both of the texts that I've read for you, that you have heard. Let me make a few comments about this hope that God offers to everyone who will believe, every one of us who face death, but can exchange the fear of death for that faith. David did not fear. He did not fear his enemies, what they might do to him. He did not fear death. His fear was replaced by faith in the Lord. The basis of David's faith was expressed in the 23rd Psalm. Let me just walk you through it again. First, David's faith rested in the fact that God was his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He guides me. And that's the second aspect, that David's faith rested in the God who gives both rest and he leads. If you are restless, if you don't know what you're doing, then you're not recognizing that the Lord is your shepherd. That's where you come this moment. The Lord is my shepherd. I know nothing else. I have no other wants. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is what your God will do for you if you believe in him. David's fear of death was gone because he was assured of God's presence. In verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David says, I fear no evil, for you, my God, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Fourth, David's faith has replaced his fear of his enemies and even the fear of death. Again, he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. To know that God is doing something for you, to have that kind of confidence, takes a faith that is not natural. Fifth, David's faith rests in the fact that God was present with him in life, in death, and throughout all eternity. As we read again in verse 6, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you know if you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Do you have that kind of faith? How can you know that this could be true for you? Well, let me come back to the book of Hebrews for just a moment and explain from that text how David's faith in God freed him from the fear of death, as the writer of Hebrews gives us two important truths which explain the faith of David. And it's just simply two things. First of all, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. The book of Hebrews reminds us that the shepherd became the sheep. The shepherd in verse 1 became a sheep. In the 23rd Psalm, David describes himself as the sheep and the Lord is the shepherd. And we know from the Old Testament that the sins of Israel were temporarily atoned for by the sacrifice of a lamb. Isaiah the prophet spoke of the coming Savior as what? As a lamb who would suffer for the sins of his people. Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like sheep that is silent before its shears, so he did not open his mouth. John the Baptist would come as a prophet whose privilege it would be to introduce Jesus of Nazareth as God's Messiah. And when John saw Jesus, do you know what his words were? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You see, David could rejoice in the Lord as his shepherd because his shepherd was with him. We can rejoice as we come to see that the good shepherd, that is Jesus, became the sheep, the lamb, who would take our sin. And that moves us to the second, and I only have 2 points for those of you that get scared, because I do have like 6 and 7 points in my sermons. The second point is simply this: not only did the shepherd become a sheep, but the Lamb of God died for us, yet he triumphed over death in the resurrection. You see, not only did Jesus Christ come as the Lamb of God to die for those who would be his sheep, Jesus rose from the dead triumphant over death. And thus, those who trust in him now no longer need fear death. Death was defeated by the Lamb who was slain and rose again. This is the faith of which David is writing in the 23rd Psalm. This is the good news of the gospel of which the writer of Hebrews is speaking. Man's fear of death is well grounded. The wages of sin is death. You ought to be afraid to die if you are not in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Because apart from being in Christ, apart from believing on Christ, apart of being transformed by Christ, death should absolutely scare you. Death is the penalty for sin. Death is what we deserve for our rebelliousness, our waywardness, our lack of attention to His will, His ways, to say to the Creator, I don't care that you created me, I'm going to do things my own way. He became, Jesus did, our sacrificial lamb. We are all sinners worthy of death, but the Good Shepherd became the sheep for us. He took human flesh, as we read in Hebrews. He lived among us. The Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, suffered the penalty of death. God raised Him from the dead, never to die again. And now all those who trust Him, were promised, will lose their fear of death and find faith and peace and comfort and hope. And that's exactly what David wrote of in the 23rd Psalm. Exchanging the fear of death for faith in Jesus is something each and every one of us here must do, particularly if you have a desire to see Jim again. Because this is not really the motivation to go to heaven. The motivation to go to heaven is to see Jesus. But a side benefit will be to see Jim. That will be the side benefit. But I promise you, based on the authority of the Word of God, you will not see Him if you are not walking with Christ, if you are not living for Christ. To have faith in Christ is both a verbal and a life-changing profession. In the 23rd Psalm, I would have you remember that David never spoke of the Lord as our shepherd. He made it very personal, didn't he? He said, my shepherd. Have you come to grips with the reality of death as God's penalty for your sin? Do you know that you deserve to die for your sin? Not just die and be laid in the ground, but die eternally, separated from God's goodness and presence to suffer only His wrath. Have you personally received Jesus as the Lamb of God and as your good shepherd? If so, you will no longer be enslaved by the fear of death. In the words of David in the 23rd Psalm, that becomes your expression of faith, not just David's. It is with this faith that we can grieve today, but with this faith, we will also grieve with hope. We will see Jim again. For if the Lord is our shepherd, if we can truly say that the Lord is my shepherd because He became the Lamb of God in my place, then we have the hope of eternal life, the hope of being in God's presence, and the hope of seeing our loved ones again. Because of such a hope, because of that hope, we proclaim, my God, how great Thou art. May this hope be yours as we say goodbye. I pray for just the time for all of us to our beloved Pap. As we close, I'd like you to stand, and we're going to sing together that hymn, How Great Thou Art. So if you would stand and let's sing together. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for being so gracious to us. Your love goes so far beyond what we are. Sinners that we are, yet You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Many of us have come into that relationship with You. Some today may just be starting that relationship. I pray that You would impart Your Spirit into their lives, that they would come to know the reality of Your presence, that they would understand the forgiveness of sins that comes as they trust in Your Son, Jesus Christ, as Savior. Change their lives, that they would know You and have a personal relationship with You, the living God. Thank You for bringing them to Yourself. I also pray for everyone here who knows You. Please do a new work in our lives. Let us be more courageous. Let us love You more and serve You more. Thank You, Lord, for Jim, that You allowed him to walk among us and be an example to us in how he touched us and how You sent him to be an example in our lives of the love of the Lord Jesus. We give You praise, Lord Jesus. You are our God, and we worship You. We thank you that you are with us now in times like this. We pray for Leslie, for Sue, and for the rest of the family, that in the moments of loss, that these would be turned into moments of fond memories. Thank you for how you have been helping them even now. Continue to comfort them, encourage them, and grant them the assurance that as they believe on your Son, Jesus Christ, that they will not only see Jim again, but like Jim is now, they will one day be face to face with their Savior in the bliss of heaven. These things we pray with thanksgiving in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.